entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hi, my name is Ken, and this isn't your typical podcast. It was recorded live, remains unedited, and is available to anyone who can endure a foul-mouthed Australian kid, Rammstein, and a detailed argument against most of the people I encounter from day-to-day life. If that's you, enjoy the next 2 hours. And eat shit.
Hey everyone, this is Justin from Australia. I fucked your fucking sister's face today. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking bitches.
It's a trip. It's got a funky beat, and I can bug out to it.
The newest in
New Style Show.
Right up to your face and diss you.
Coming to you live from New Jersey, safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark. We proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk is not good.
You guys having a killer time?
Yes.
Sweet.
No. 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 No.
Hey, Donna! Did you start the coffee yet?
Oh, snap! Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right. This is the DJ New Style Show, exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be. And the only show proudly introduced by a band, a true band. Which band? You guessed it. Rammstein! Thank you for tuning in to the DJ New Style Show. I'm just going to fade that out professionally. Fade that out professionally. You know, it's appropriate. German music. German excellence displayed this weekend. You know, just to kind of let it rub off, I walked down to my bedroom from the small flight of stairs that leads to it, opened the door, and I walked out on the field holding the hand of a South African child. And then I let go, let him stand in front of me, and I did some jumpy stretches that the soccer players are doing at the World Cup, just to get pumped, just to get ready to do my thing, episode 261. And sometimes the intro songs mean something. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes this is one that you've heard maybe 1,000 times. Maybe it's the doorbell song again. Maybe it's that House of Pain song that you never heard at first and was kind of cool, but it's like time number 10 introducing the show, and it's obviously a lazy day for me. But no, not today. I'm sure I've probably started off an episode with this song. But it kind of is, and I hate to say this, I hate to use what I like to call a Foundry Music Jeff word, apropos. It is apropos to the situation. Germaine, I don't want to eat burritos or read about OJ. Things I haven't done in a very long time. Haven't had Chipotle in about a month. Haven't had corn in about a month. And I can't tell you the last time I've taken a dump and there hasn't been corn inside the dump. I don't know what it is, but Benefiber is just finding corn in my colon. I haven't taken a corn-free shit in 3 weeks, and I haven't had corn in about a month. I don't know what the hell it is. Ever since I've started the Benefiber, it's just been like party confetti shit. I used to have glorious solid logs that were, I was told, were healthy. But apparently the way to do it is to shotgun blast your old food right into the bowl and just let it be evident all the things that you've eaten that were not digested, that were just caked up on the side of the walls. And I'm finding out here from some nice people here, like Keith Fu, who is saying that it stores up in your appendix. And now you'd say, where is Keith Fu typing this? He's in our Pal Talk room in the Hear Us Talk radio room. And there are also people on hearustalk.com. If you happen to catch the show live, go there, interact with these fine folks who give me shitty advice, literally. I want to say that Benefiber is frightening the living fuck out of me. I don't know if I should continue drinking it, mixing it up in the morning, making it part of my daily routine, but I think I'm going to have to. I think I'm going to have to give it up because it's just too fucking frightening. I miss my old shits, and that's not something that people would say proudly. But when you have frightening, scary, horrific shits on a regular basis, and this is all you know now, and it's because of a product that you threw into a water bottle and shook 1.5 times, you know, then you start to, you know, take a little bit of a look at what am I really trying to accomplish? Do I really need all this stuff to be cleansed? Do I need, maybe my appendix needs the extra corn. Maybe it needs it for some reason. Maybe that's a gap that needs to be filled with something good and maybe not like some disease. I don't know. I really did try to analyze my life and figure out the last time I've eaten corn. And it was when I went to Chipotle. I had the corn salsa, and that was about a month ago. That's the last time I've eaten corn. And just this morning, I took a corn shit. I don't understand. You would think that this type of stuff would be washed out. It wouldn't just live inside you. It's already freaky enough and disturbing enough that the corn comes out whole. It is in your shit as it was when you ate it. It's a frightening thing, but to know that it just hangs out inside you is very, very disconcerting and awful. And you know, I guess it's because I've modified my daily routine, and I've gone outside of my usual pattern of behavior. And what I do every Tuesday is also something I've been doing. I get ready for the show, not by holding the hand of a South African child. As I mused prior to this, I go to get some coffee, an energy drink, or something to eat to kind of settle down, get ready to do some production and host this show. I've been going to Starbucks, then I gave it up. I got a chalky beverage, and I gave it up. Haven't been there in months. Been going to Quick Check. They turned their back on me. Fuck Quick Check. I've now been going to Rite Aid to get energy drinks and fucking power bars and eat them in my car as I drive home. And it was fine. It was all cool until I encountered something I like to call the serious cashier. The serious cashier is a person that just really takes their menial role incredibly seriously. First of all, I walk up to the guy. He's got a special uniform on. I assume he's of some kind of upper echelon of hourly employee. He's probably a crew trainer or, dare I say, assistant manager. He's licking his lips and not stopping. I have a power bar. I have a Red Bull. It's not that difficult to see how the transaction's going to go. He's licking his lips, stops licking his lips to say, two items. And then nothing else. As if I have to look down and count and say, yes, you're correct. I have, in fact, two items. I put my shit down on the table. And he keeps licking his goddamn lips and grabbing the power bar and trying to get the UPC code straight and flat because it's not scanning for him. And he's trying to get it right and perfect so he can ring it up. He says, hold on, I'll enter it in. I'll key it in manually. I'm sorry that this is taking so long, but everything he said, right out of some training manual. I don't know what the fuck this was. Usually, my Rite Aid experience is very smooth, very easy. I'm met with a foreigner, probably a Haitian woman. Doesn't give a shit that I'm even there. Sees things with UPC code, scans them, hits a button, takes money or doesn't, hands a receipt, and then, you know, if you don't leave right away, she's puzzled and annoyed. That's the usual flow of the transaction. This guy is now offering me a special customer discount things. He wants me to become a preferred customer, explaining that the benefits of you coming here regularly are great. You will eventually accrue a sum of spent money that will get you some discount on whatever. And I buy two things once a week. I'm not exactly a heavy Rite Aid customer. And I can't imagine how fucking beneficial having this card in my wallet's gonna be. I already have enough of them. I have a fucking preferred customer card from every place that would ever order it because I fell for it. And I stopped doing it when I noticed that the sushi place I go to was offering it. It's called Blossom. And I get Blossom points every time I go there. And it just happens that every time I go there, I check the last time my total was updated, and it was 2008. And I've been there several times thereafter, and I haven't been able to redeem one fucking thing. So I don't really know what the fuck it's about. I don't really know. I don't get it. So now I refuse. I told the guy I don't want the card. And he goes into an additional paragraph. I understand that you don't want it, but just please consider it. Take this. He puts the fucking pamphlet in my bag. Like I'm going to sit home with my feet on an ottoman and just review the policy Rite Aid offers its preferred customers. Oh, really? I will accumulate points. Fucking horrible. So I'm really dead set on ending this transaction of two items, as I was told by my desire to pick up two things, and then by the asshole behind the counter tallying up the things in my hands, one per. And I get this fucking receipt. This receipt, 18 inches long, with a big fucking, just corporate bullet-pointed fucking boilerplate text. You just enter this code here and that, and then the return policy, the fucking address. A goddamn scroll for two fucking items. First of all, I don't even want the fucking receipt. Now I have a bag filled with a power bar, a Red Bull, and just a mess of paper. It's the worst fucking thing in the world. And the biggest issue I have with this is the fact that he was the serious cashier. Just so ready to help and tow the Rite Aid goddamn banner. The serious cashier is someone who scrutinizes the entire transaction. And occasionally, if they're not the manager as this guy was, they'll get befuddled and feel bad about it. They'll fuck something up and feel bad about it enough to where it has to be reversed and it has to be rectified. So they'll go and get the manager who sits up 18 inches above everybody so he can just check out the store. And then he'll come and waddle his fat ass fucking down with his telephone cord full of keys and fucking dumb tchotchkes he got on vacation or from someone else's vacation. Like, he actually was given something because someone went to Cozumel and he kept it. He didn't just fucking throw it in the garbage can. Every fucking keychain imaginable comes up. What's the issue? Oh, I'm sorry, I entered this thing wrong. The serious cashier is a fucking nuisance and a goddamn time waster. Now, who's the ideal cashier? Who do you want to go to? You want someone 18 to 25, doesn't give a fuck, can't be bothered with greeting you, just fucking starts blindly taking things and running it over the scanner, just throwing them in a bag or sliding them down to the end. He can't be bothered with checking higher bills. You hand him a $100 bill, he's not going to be the type to take out the little pen and mark it to see if it's counterfeit or hold it up. I don't know. It's Target's problem. It's not yours. And the other thing about the ideal cashier, they realize that the reason they don't give a fuck is because they get fired. They can work somewhere else. This isn't like losing a fucking the position as a CFO. You're a goddamn cashier. You can work fucking anywhere. And that is powerful. It's a powerful thing. Fuck Target. Target fires you because someone pushes a bum $100 bill and you didn't check it because you don't give a fuck because you hate your job and you generally hate responsibility, which is why you're you know, at Target and not caring. So they fire you. Okay, you try for Walmart. They see you've been fired from Target. You don't get in. So you do some time. Go to a local mom-and-pop deli. Just tell them it was some big corporate bullshit. You get hired again. You do a good job. And then you move back up. Go somewhere else. Go anywhere but Rite Aid, please. I don't need my Tuesdays interrupted. But go somewhere else. And it'll happen for you. They know it's a dead-end job. That won't lead you to the gilded boardroom. And they treat it as such. The serious cashier is on some kind of thing where they think that this is going to lead them to bigger things. This is going to lead them to the top. If they perform very well at this this menial job, they'll make assistant manager. And then after that, you know, you're going to move up to manager and then district manager. And then you'll be in the upper fucking tier of employees of this shit fucking chain that you don't even get stock options in. You don't even get a fucking discount on merchandise. They don't give a shit about you. And what they fail to realize is that as long as they've worked there, the managers have never gone anywhere. It's the same bullshit. Did you see that movie? I'm gonna see that movie. Did you play that game? I played that game. Did you go see the Giants game? Bullshit conversation over and over and over again. In between sessions of, hey guys, want to see you face off the shelves. I want to see you face off the shelves. Do some blocking. The end caps. Just terrible. Absolutely fucking hideous. And the thing that, another thing serious cashier doesn't realize, nobody fucking likes you. You being good at this job is not gonna make you liked or appreciated. The manager that doesn't even give you a fucking raise only gives you a raise when the federal government requires them to because they've upped the minimum wage, doesn't like you, would never associate with you. You're the worst at that job. And who's the best? Ironically, ideal cashier. Ideal cashier gets their shit done. They're rarely short. They're rarely over. They just don't want to have a fucking conversation with somebody that's buying some fucking Whiskas cat food and some fucking Swiffers. They just don't give a shit. They're the best at that fucking job. Because they know the ins and outs, and they're able to exploit it. Someone who takes it so fucking seriously has no goddamn clue, and just thinks that the way they're gonna excel or become something else is to stick to everything they're told and look for ways to just conform and be good at the shit that they're handed. Look at Steve the LARPer. I guarantee you when he's on that register, he doesn't give a fuck. We've already discussed last week. You can go to DJNewStyleShow.com, download all the episodes, subscribe to the podcast. We've discussed that Steve is living the life. Steve works at a game store. He grows vegetables. He does not give a fuck. He would be an ideal cashier. You walk up to him with your copy of fucking NBA 2K10 or whatever the fuck you're going to buy at a video game store. You throw it on the counter. He might even try to be nice because you might look at him or something. He would say, hey, you play this yet? Or you play last year? And you'll mutter, mm, and he'll get it. He won't try and fucking egg you on for some lonely, time-killing, soul-draining fucking conversation. That's exactly it. Cashiers are just a fucking pox on the retail experience. However, the salesmen, the overly helpful fucking salesmen, might have them beat. We were looking for some appliances. We want to capitalize on some of the rebates by getting rid of the wonderful, wonderful refrigerator that was left to us by the previous owners of our house, which doesn't freeze and doesn't chill, just basically eats up electricity. And we wanted to replace it, so we go to a certain store. And every time you walk in, it feels like how I would imagine the first day of prison would be. They're talking about this or that. Like, oh, do you see fucking, you see the goddamn fucking Germans? And then as soon as the ka-ching, beep, they see you. They lock eyes with you. And I swear to God, if they don't lick their lips physically, they're doing it in their minds. Commission. Commission. Employee of the month. If you don't get commission and you're on the floor trying to make then what are you trying for? Why do you care? You want to make employee of the month? You want to get a little better parking spot for yourself? Because they all do it. They all swoop in. Hey, just want to let you know, we've got some great sales going on. We got some great promotions. Here's the flyer. Take the flyer. Look around. Hey, I'm not going to bother you. Not going to bother you. But I'm here if you have any questions. And God forbid the guy has a fucking name that could be associated with sales or a sales floor. The guy that helped us was named Roman. And his big fucking line was, hey, not gonna bother you, but I'm here if you need questions. If you need me, I'm roaming around. And I looked at his name tag because he was pointing to his chest. His fucking name tag said Roman, R-O-M-A-N, around. I can't tell you the desire I had to see that fucking building in flames. Just in my head, I saw billowing flames. In the rafters, all over the new LED TVs, and so I said, "Oh yeah, I get it." And I started walking around. You know, we were looking at some of the refrigerators, checking the dimensions and stuff. And I hear something. It's fucking footsteps. I am now being stalked by Roman. I didn't know when he said he was roaming around that he would be stalking me with his fucking porn director mustache and his terrible pun name tag. So he's just following us, and the minute I would say, I wonder if that's gonna fit in our what, you need a tape measure? You need a tape measure? Just running in, waiting for any question mark to come out of my fucking mouth. Do you need me to measure? Cause remember, it's not to the hinge, it's to the box. It's to the box. Yeah, Roman, I got it. I'm just wondering if this thing will fit in the spot. Okay, well, what kind of cabinets you got? Now I have to offer him a fucking CAD drawing of my fucking kitchen so he can assist me with something I don't even need assistance with. I just wanted to see the fucking refrigerators you have. I just wish he would stick to his name tag. I'm getting very irritated with him. But I'm not here to bother you, I'm... Again, roaming around. Okay, yeah, roaming around. We get a couple minutes of silence, couple minutes away. And he and we open up, I guess it's a French door refrigerator. The two double doors and the fridge or the freezer beneath it. Not the side by side. We open that up. Oh, I like this. Amanda is saying, oh, I like this kind of refrigerator. I just, you know. Gotta be careful with those. Gotta be careful with those. They might hit the, if they're not flush. If they're not flush, they might hit the. Okay. I fucking get it. I just fucking get it. Oh, not trying to bother you, but I'm here if you need me. We don't fucking need you. 9 times out of 10, you don't need the guy on the floor. You just don't. And one thing I can tell you, if you're like me, you're forced into the situation where now you have to go and shop and you have to be in the environment or the pit of the salesperson on the floor. Just choose where you're going. There are places that will bother you less. They'll all bother you. Furniture stores are the worst because they'll have promises of snacks and shit and water bottles. You know, the guy's not going to buy. Hey, listen here. I'm here if you need me. I'm not the type. I don't like to talk, you know. I don't like to get in people's business. And then 5 minutes later comes out with 2 bottles of water. Hey, just happened to get some water. Just figured you might want some refreshing. So what'd you think of that couch? God forbid you sit on a fucking couch. I sit on a seat, and I reach around for the little lever to put my legs up just to see how it works, if it reclines back. I'm sitting on it. 30 seconds, maybe. Just getting a feel for it. I hear, that's a comfortable seat. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm already fucking on it, asshole. That's a comfortable seat. Good. I needed your opinion. I've already decided to sit on it, and it's not that fucking comfortable. They're the worst. Any little fucking hook they can get into you just to maybe get a sale. So it does go back to the place. Most places, they'll leave you alone a little. But avoid the little places you hear about. Oh, I got a beautiful couch. I got a great table. I couldn't believe how cheap. Blah, blah, blah. They were willing to deal. Blah, blah, blah. Avoid them. Any suggestion you get from anybody that you haven't seen a commercial for that's in some little fucking town, don't go to it because it's some dank place with one fucking person and no other customers. So now every move you make, scrutinized. You walk in, they're at a desk flipping through a fucking magazine or doing a puzzle or just pretending to be busy because they're probably being watched by some spy cam that alternates between, you know, desk shot to under toilet lid. They see you walk in. Instantly, now you have a tail. Now someone's following you. The minute you even say, oh, you know, I'm wondering if this color, you know, if it's too light for... If it's too light, we have swatches! And they come out with the fucking trapper keeper of the different fabrics. Ugh. And Goatweed, thank you very much. Goatweed is in the Heroes Talk chat room right now. If you're listening to this downloaded every Tuesday night at 9 p.m., you should be here and say hello to Goatweed. He's saying, let me tell you, I have this same one in my house. Gorgeous! I don't need your fucking opinion. I don't care about your fucking house. The only time I need to speak to you is if I decide this is what I want and I don't want to pay what it says. I don't want to fucking pay what it says. And this is what I want. Not, do you think this would look good in my house that you've never fucking seen that I'm obviously going to have to describe to you? Well, it's a bi-level, and the upstairs has hardwood floors, so, you know, I gotta put a little I don't want to know you like this. I'm not gonna have you over for fucking coffee so you can see the outcome of this non-purchase. Because if I get too harassed, I'm not gonna fucking buy anything from you. Solera, wouldn't you like to be in heaven like this? That's something I have heard, by the way. Wouldn't you like to have something like this? A big wraparound couch? Wouldn't you like this? They're sitting, I sit down, I get up, they sit down, and they just fucking sprawl out. Oh, this is, oh, let me tell you, after working, this is it. Shut up. Just shut the fuck up. They never cease to amaze me. And it's never going to change. You're never going to get rid of them until brick and mortar stores are a thing of the past. We all know what they're out for. They need sales. I get it. You can't afford these expensive showrooms and a salary and anything. You can't afford the business if you don't make sales. I understand it. I get it. Just treat me like a fucking human. I went to a place called Bob's. Oh, Bob's is great. He has a commercial in our area in New Jersey and New York and every other fucking place. And he also has a little nook where you can get fucking penny candy and like little tiny cups of coffee and like a half scoop of ice cream. And that's supposed to be a big fucking draw. Well, it isn't. What they do feature are rogue employees that know you're with another person on the floor helping you. Kind of. But they still want to steal you from them. Hey, listen, I know that Ron said he was going to help you out. But here's my card. Next time you come in, Sergey is your man. I'm Sergey. And then the next one, fucking Theodore comes in, and now he's going to try and sell me a fucking dining room table. It's just so cutthroat, I almost don't mind it, because it's kind of entertaining. And Bob's isn't that, you know, the furniture at Bob's isn't incredible or anything like that. The big draw is the shitty food that they give away for free. And the many stories that you hear from the salesman, like, oh yeah, I gained 30 pounds first week I worked here. But I had to lose it all. Yeah, because Bob probably cracked down on your fucking fat ass eating too much of the free ice cream. They are reasonably priced, Bob's. They do have good prices and they have great deals. But the furniture isn't going to really last as much as something that if you paid a little bit more, you'd probably get maybe 10 more years out of it. Again, who cares if it's inexpensive and it'll fill a room and look nice and be great for the time I have it, I'd be happy to do it. But I get so fucking turned off by just being helped and the sales pitches and, you know, you should try the pit. We have a whole section of shit, I mean, you know, furniture back there that's, you know, been floor models and stuff. Maybe it's got a nick here or there, but it's in the back. Fucking leather couches that look like they've been in butterfly knife fights. Just shredded. $600. Just, you know, whatever. Fuck Bob's. The one experience of dealing with salesmen that I'll never forget is in the early 90s when we got our first computer. My dad wanted to get a printer. We really didn't have a need for it because we bought the computer and it came with all the gimmicky shit. Like, oh, look, the Book of Home Remedies on CD-ROM. Fantastic. Now I know how to treat sunburn. Or, oh, the St. James Bible. Yeah, I'm sure that ever got taken out. Like, just the big pile of CDs that they would give away. Hey, we're talking a $2,000 value of software here. Thank you, CompUSA. You were the best. So we got our first computer, and we were pretty late in coming to it. So we bypassed the dot matrix little shit with the perforated holes on the side. We didn't get that. We had the individual sheet printer. But we went to go looking for this inkjet, whatever the fuck it was, at a place called Nobody Beats the Wiz. Nobody beats the Wiz. And they were definitely commissioned in the beginning. Oh, here we go. I'm sorry. I have to interrupt here. We have a caller. 316-768-4472. I hope that they remember to turn down the audio they're listening to.
Hey, what's up, Ken? It's Crazed.
Crazed, how you doing, buddy? What's going on?
Ah, that much, man. I just noticed all the hostility that you have today. somebody pissing your cornflakes or something?
No, I just actually found out that I have a lot of corn in my colon. I didn't know about this.
Yeah, I remember. I heard that. That kind of sucks. I mean, must have...
Oh, crazy.
I don't know.
And let me tell you, it's a downer. So what's going on, buddy? What do you have for the show?
Not much, man. Just thought I'd call in, see how you're doing, and everything. I mean, got my first paid week vacation, so that's awesome.
And how many weeks or weeks have you been working?
Well, I've been working there for almost 4 years.
4 years, and you just took your first week vacation?
Yeah, well, last year they had, I had some vacation hours, but it was so little that I just was like, fuck it, I ain't taking it. There's no point.
Are you a full-time employee?
I'm a part-time employee.
So part-time employees earn vacation hours?
Yeah.
Holy shit. So, like, if you build up a mighty battery of 3 vacation hours, and you just leave work in the middle of the day for 3 hours, you could say I took my vacation.
Not exactly.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess it's something different then. So you finally saved up a week's worth of vacation. How many hours is that?
It's about pretty much like if you took like 8 times 7, so which would be 56 hours.
You need graph paper? Okay. Oh, how many? 56?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. A week's worth of vacation is 56 hours and you're part time.
Yeah.
I think that you're getting screwed at your job. They're paying you a lot less, and they justify it by saying that you're part-time. You don't work 56 hours a week.
No, I don't.
So how is a week's vacation 56 hours? Is there an exchange rate? Like one vacation hour is actually 3 work hours?
I don't know exactly how it works, but to be honest, I mean, it said like from 5:30 to like 11:30. It was like a big, long, I don't know, fucking thing, you know?
It sounds really good. Sounds like a good company policy. So you took your first week's vacation, crazed. What did you do with this luxurious time off?
It hasn't come up yet. It's coming up on the 9th.
Oh,
to the 16th.
Okay, so what are your plans?
Well, I'm going to go to some concerts, some shows, hang out with my friends, and that's it. It's called a stay-home vacation. I don't have enough money to travel.
Oh, okay. So you have money for concerts and shows and hanging out with your friends, though, right?
Yeah.
And you work part-time?
Yep.
Why can't you just do that when you're not working your part-time job?
Well, the thing is, I'm basically, the good thing about this is I'm basically not going to be working for a week and I'm going to get paid for it.
I think that you should take an in-bed strike and just stay in bed and fight the fact that your employers are lying to you and they're treating you poorly. What kind of work do they have you doing? Are you still at
doing maintenance at Walmart.
Oh.
And I had like maybe like a couple of write-ups from last year. But
wait, you were written up?
Yeah.
What were you written up for?
Well, one bathroom was really all messed up and everything, and I was supposed to clean it before I came home, and I didn't take care of my responsibilities. And so one of the managers stepped in, and he saw it, and he just was like, I'm writing this guy up.
Was your other write-up because you put icing on one of the urinal cakes?
No. No, it was because this woman actually cursed me out, and I yelled and screamed at her back.
Can you give me
really
an example?
Tolerate shit.
What did she say to you?
Because I had a bad. I don't remember exactly, but she cursed me out, and it was all because I was ringing the buzzer.
To the
elevator that shouldn't have been using, and I was calling for the elevator to come up to take me back down.
Now, Crazed. I want to give the listeners a little bit of an idea of how not to behave if you work in a retail environment. Would you like to reenact this scenario?
Well, yeah, sure.
Okay, I need you to say buzz, buzz, buzz for a little bit, okay?
Buzz, buzz, buzz.
Stop ringing that fucking elevator. You're not allowed up here. You got a bunch of shit in the fucking bathroom and a goddamn birthday candle in the urinal cake. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Listen, fucking lady. I fucking tired of taking your shit. You go fucking sit in this fucking corner and make me some pot pie.
Listen, you fucking lady. Very good. Very good. Well, so apparently you are not very good at yelling at people, and you got written up for that.
Yeah, and supposedly they said that I was moving a broom around or waving it around, which I was like 10 feet away from her. So how could I hit her with a broom if I was 10 feet away from her?
Well, you know.
Unless I threw it like it was a harpoon or something.
Yeah, and that would be ironic for the whale to harpoon somebody. Crazed, listen, I gotta say, you need to clean up the shit in the bathrooms. I mean, what's going on here? I need you to contemplate that the piss and shit, that's your fucking inbox. Every time there's a little puddle of brown or yellow, you need to get in there with a fucking ShamWow, some kind of a brush, and get the goddamn thing done. Do it right.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So, Craze, thank you for calling the show. I really appreciate it, buddy. It's actually been a long time since we've heard from you.
Thanks, man. But and also, I'm going to a rave like on July 4th. It's going to be awesome.
You're going to a rave?
Yeah.
Are you going to be suspended?
I know. I'm probably going to be a little bit old for that.
Are you going to be wearing a harness and holding a mirror and hanging from the ceiling?
No, I'm gonna be bobbing my head a little bit and go inch, 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 inch.
Fantastic, inch, fantastic. Inch, do it up. I hope you do all the drugs and spin all the glow sticks. It's gonna be fantastic. How old are you now, Craze? How old are you, real quick?
I'm 34.
The oldest raver ever. Thank you very much, Craze. I appreciate it. And say hi to A-Webs for me at the rave, okay?
All right, bye.
Thank you very much. That's Crazed. He's got a responsibility. Sometimes he does it. What the fuck are you doing? I guess that that 5 key on the phone just really looked tasty. It had to be licked. It was asking to be licked. What do you do? Obey the call. So what were we saying here? What were we getting into before Craze just blew the roof off this bitch? I believe I was going back in time to a place where my father bought our first printer. Nobody beat the Wiz. The salesman, so irritating, so completely awful, had a line in the goddamn barrel, hammer cocked, trigger ready to go, points it at my dad, fires. So am I going to send you out the door with this thing today or what? My dad's just looking at this fucking thing. At the time, he has a fair idea of what he's getting into. Just needs to know how many sheets, what kind of ink, is it good? This guy just laid it on. Can I send you out the door with this thing today or what? I think my dad looked at him as though he was worth less than Crazed. Basically, I was trying to think of something that really was just a negative value, and I think I actually did. I think I did a pretty good job there. Gave him the sorest look you could ever see, and we just fucking left. And I don't think I've ever seen that guy in there again. I've been there several times. I'm going to take a break here because Craze just blew my fucking mind. So I'll be right back. I have to piss. A blue moon right through me. I wouldn't be surprised if a corn kernel came out of my dick. It's coming out of every other fucking opening. Every other opening, just fucking corn kernels. It's a DJ New Style show. HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.
The DJ New Style show will be back after something.
The DJ New Style Show has a brand new Facebook fan page. Thank you for deleting the old one, Frank, you incompetent asshole. The new one is facebook.com/TheDJNewStyleShow. That's facebook.com/TheDJNewStyleShow. Congratulations, Frank, on being so technically inept that you made us add the word the. facebook.com/TheDJNewStyleShow.
The DJ New Style Show.
It's me, Jimmy Francone, and you're listening to the super coolest pirate sword breaking battle action radio show in the whole galaxy ever! Coolest! So, today I didn't do anything, and yesterday I didn't do anything. And before you tell me, stop following in my drunken dad's loser footsteps to nowhere. I've heard it before, and you should probably know that school's out and I'm on my summer break, which is coolest! And I love summer because I get to do anything I want. But there are two things that I want to accomplish this summer on my goal list that I wrote down. Number one is I want to see Mrs. Gallery, my teacher from last year, and tell her that she's fat and stupid and her clothes are like my grandmother's and sometimes her farts smell like a camping trip. And number two, I want to tell Fat Steven to his fat stupid face that I don't care how often he's going to tell us that he's going to weightlifting camp because everybody knows in the whole school that the place he's really going is a camp for kids whose moms had to tie a chain around the refrigerator. And Steven's mom had to. I saw it. And he got really embarrassed when he saw me see it. And he couldn't explain why there were three locks and all kinds of Houdini chains around it. And then he tried to say they were moving it. Well, if they were just moving it, then how do you explain why your garbage can in your bedroom was filled with nothing but popsicle sticks and ham netting? It's because you're fat. Good luck white-knuckling through your Oreo addiction at fat camp, loser. And I don't know what that really means, but I do know that when people want to do things and they're trying really hard not to do it, it's what my dad called white knuckling, because whenever he stopped drinking and punching my mom's teeth apart for more than a day, he was white knuckling. Oh, and before I go, I want to let everyone know that I'll spend the whole summer finding this stupid face who wrote homo on my Kesha poster on the last day of school. You're the homo. I'll find out who did it, and I will, because I'll hang out with whoever it takes, except Fat Steven, because his mom told him he has boobs now and he has to wear a headband and do girl exercises until September. I'll find out who did it, and you will replace my poster. Coolest. Okay, this has been the beginning of summer, starting off barbecue party and seeing my dad every other Saturday, coolest radio special of the world. Until next time, coolest.
DJ New Style Show. DJ New Style Show is back.
Bitches. Welcome back to the DJ New Style Show. Part of this wonderful Hear Us Talk lineup. We are the Tuesday night excellent miracle of the world. Dragon punching, pirate airbending, coolest. Jimmy Francone, ladies and gentlemen, glad to have you back. Go to DJNewStyleShow.com, download everything I've ever done, everything we've ever done, subscribe, check out the videos, follow me on Twitter, do all this great stuff, and don't forget to check out Best in Show every Thursday night at 9 p.m., The Awful Hour, occasionally on Wednesday nights. Go to theawfulhour.com. And unfortunately, I will not be able to invite you to check out The What Show on Friday nights, because The What Show has come to an end. And you know what? I think they put out 70-plus great episodes. They've had a good run. And I hope that at least a couple shows rise from the fall of that show. Because there's some very entertaining people involved. Every last one of them is a very funny person. Very intelligent. They have the gift of gab. They should be doing something. And I understand why they couldn't do it anymore. I just hope that there's something else on the horizon for all of them. I really do. And whatever it is, I'm willing to do what I can to help them. So, if you're listening and you need my help, let me know. The What Show, rest in peace. Rest in peace. But you know what isn't going away, guys? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you about something that just isn't going away. They won't quit. They won't stop because they can't stop. I see you too. I mean, it's right here. Video conferencing. We are on the dawn of an amazing video age, and who is at the forefront? I see you too. It's the best way to chat face to face from any place. Simply go to ICU2.com, and you'll be connected with thousands of people instantly. Unlike some of those other sites, some of those late to the game assholes, as I like to say, and as the copy does not read, ICU2 will never cripple your user experience. You can watch as many live videos as you like, send and receive as many private messages as you like, and have as many friends on your list as possible. You may think that these are things that would never be, ever be limited, right? You would think that. But some of the other people do. ICU2 doesn't. ICU2.com. How do you spell it? ICU2.com. It's very simple. And once you install it and try it out, you'll be using the 2009 People's Choice Award winner for internet communication. Hey, ICU2, what's it going to take for you to get it done in 2010? What's it going to take? Let me know so that I can continue this read with the current year. ICU2, face-to-face, from any place. Fantastic and amazing stuff. And I'd love to go on ICU2 and discuss probably the biggest sports event ever, maybe, ever. And of course, I'm talking about M1 Strikeforce MMA. Did you say that there's some soccer stuff going on? I've been
trying to keep up, but I mean the biggest sports event, Fedor fighting. Fedor, it's a huge thing. You hear that name, you think, oh, this guy, the greatest of all time. Absolute greatest. Took a dive. Got defeated in the first minute of a goddamn fight. They introduced him having no losses in the last 10 years. A minute in. Tapped out. Just a fucking... We watched. We wanted to see a war. Wanted to see... Just a great fight. What did he do? He got tumbled in and wrapped up in the legs of a man who lost to Andrei Arlovsky. What a way to get completely fucking bitched out. But he managed to spin it after his fucking handlers in the Scarface suits, brought him back to life. He said to some of his interviewers, "I do not want to be seen as a god." Okay. Fedor, fantastic. No one sees you as a god any longer. But Fedor, you would never get away from an MMA conversation. Yeah, Brock Lesnar, but Fedor would beat the shit out of him. Fedor, dude. Fedor. All the time. All the time. He basically got bitched. It was a very, very unimpressive win, if it wasn't Fedor. First round submission, not that exciting. First round impressive victory, you get dropped. Your jaw fucking shudders, and you're on your goddamn back, maybe in a fucking rumpled lump, like Crow Cop, with his leg bent backwards when that one guy, I don't even know, the guy who lost the next fight out a couple years ago. Crow Cop's laying there, his fucking... His heel is touching his fucking right ear. Just folded in half. But Fedor, the guy, the legend, oft defended at the water cooler, just completely destroyed and eliminated. And the worst, his fucking bratva, brotherhood, Russian mafia, his fucking handlers in those goddamn suits. Just the worst. The absolute worst. I read a tweet from Veal Chop from the All Flower. He said that he described them as being yayed out porn director looking handlers or managers or whatever. Just completely fucking terrible. And the reason why he's never going to fight anybody worthwhile. Never. And he'll never be as celebrated as some of the stars in the world stage, some of the stars of the World Cup. The World Cup, right? I'm an American person. I probably shouldn't be as interested in this now as I am. I wasn't. Absolutely wasn't. But the fact is, we had a team that was in it, and I started watching. I fell into the trap of the typical American non-soccer fan and started watching the United States team. And for a little while, I fell into the group of people that would offer these ways to improve the game. Or, you know, this has got to happen to the game. That. But I'm not a serious fan, but I'm now at the point where I'm beyond the stages, the decidedly American stages of trying to improve the game with my terrible suggestions. I mean, and here's how you can tell that someone who's about to comment on the game is going to offer the worst possible suggestion to improve the game. They would say, you know what they should do is, I don't know, what they gotta do. Every time you hear that, something fucking horrible comes out. And I've actually heard some pretty, pretty bad suggestions by people that don't really follow the game, as I didn't before. I'm no expert, but I have a grasp on it now that to know that these are horrible suggestions. The first, there's too many players on the field. They should really make the team smaller. That would make more scoring happen. Too many players. Someone actually said this to me. The fucking game has been around. How long? Forever? I think it started with kicking fucking severed heads around. And now there's too many players. I think that's not necessarily the problem. There should be unlimited substitutions. I don't know why they limit that. The people get tired. They're running around. They should be able to... That's why there are limited substitutions. Because the people get tired. That's the reason why the sport is fucking impressive. If you can just come in and off the goddamn field, not that fucking impressive. You'll never see a soccer player take a puff of oxygen or sniff smelling salts and then go back out and play. Offsides is bullshit, okay? I don't get it. They should just fucking get rid of it already. And as far as, you know, icing in hockey goes, I still agree. I don't get it, so it has to be eliminated. But with this, you can't fuck. I don't get it. It's stupid. It's never a good way to defend one of your ways to improve a sport you have no fucking vested interest in. I don't. It's bullshit. I don't fucking. Just get rid of it. So in this guy's mind, you should absolutely allow someone to just be planted right next to the goalie. At all times. Play, you know, all but one goes down and follows the ball. This one guy stands there and just fucking talks about tits with the goalie until a kick comes his way. And he just scoots it in. It's bullshit. I don't fucking get it. You know what they should do is, they should have a two-point line. Like in basketball, they got a three-point line, you know? More points, more scoring. For some reason, scoring is a point of contention with American people. With people that hate the fucking game, they want more scoring. And the problem is, they can't watch it if it's a tie. It's not exciting to them. There has to be the Spanish announcer saying, "Goal!" and just losing his fucking shit over this. There has to be some big cajoling and just dynamic celebration every single minute. Otherwise, it's worthless. 120 fucking minutes in a game and no fucking points. That's a display of athleticism. That's an amazing fucking feat of these teams being matched and playing. The clock should stop when the ball's in play. Okay? That way you get rid of stoppage time. Okay, maybe I'm not beyond that entirely. Maybe I'm not beyond that entire gripe. But stoppage time is a pretty good solution. The clock stopping for certain things wouldn't be a bad idea, because if you've seen the USA versus Ghana, you saw a man do a cartwheel, look around, and just lay the fuck down. Ah, my ribs! My ribs! Ah, my back! My clavicle! Just fucking lay down. The ref even said, the fuck are you doing? Get up. No one touched you. Lay down. Demands to be carried out on a stretcher. 5 fucking minutes later, they get a stretcher out. Carry this asshole off the fucking field. Set him down on the sidelines so the game can resume. And what happens? He fucking springs off the ground and runs back out on the fucking field. Throwing yourself down, over-exaggerating a fucking hit. Oh, my fucking shoulder! Blah, blah, blah. And the fucking terrible calls that have gone on. I've spoken to people that watch the game their whole lives, that follow it from Ireland or from England. These people watch the fucking game. They are in awe of how many fucking glaring mistakes are being made. And even them, even someone with a reverence for the game, is saying, yeah, we need something to be fucking done here. There needs to be some kind of camera, sensor, something, some way to get retribution for these fucking people just blowing calls over and over again. This is the biggest event in the whole sport. People that never watched the sport are watching now. What impression are they getting? It's a fucking poorly run, poorly fucking called sport. That's what people are saying. Every game, there is a goal that should have been in. There's a goal that shouldn't have been in. There's somebody who maybe had a cleat brush theirs and now is claiming they need an MRI. And I have to say, the Spanish people playing the game, superb acting. Superb! Every little brush. You would think that they got shot in the spine. The Germans will fall, but they're very robotic. They don't act very well. The Spanish people are very passionate about diving. They want that little bit of a favor to fall their way. To me, the goals that should have been, no matter what game you're watching. You could celebrate if it happens in your favor, but you still know that it's bullshit and something needs to be done. You know what they should do is make the goal bigger. That way, you know, there's going to be more scoring. No, they need to watch the fucking goals. They need to watch the goddamn goals. The one goal from Lampard... Great Britain and Germany. I mean, they were outclassed, sure. And I don't want to turn this into a soccer cast, but I'm just getting into it, and I'm pretty fucking riled up over this shit. The guy was watching. All he does is sit there. I didn't know that they had a person to do this. I thought that it was the guys running around the field, getting in the way sometimes. They see it. They call it. That's it. I didn't know how it was. I'm new to it. But my suggestion is, why don't they just have somebody watching the fucking net? Because it seemed as plain as day that ball hit beyond the line, bounced up, bounced down, bounced up, and bounced out. The guy didn't see it, didn't count. And it's every game. It's every fucking game. But I'm still into it. I'm absolutely still into it. For now. I can appreciate the fact that a lot of American people watching this a lot of them are going to tire of it now that the United States are out. We lost to, and I say we, like I'm the fucking stat manager. Like, I'm bringing water to the fucking players. You know, we did a good thing. We performed well. We played our hardest. The United States team is out, lost to Ghana. So a lot of the Americans aren't going to watch anymore. Some of them, like myself, are intrigued and will continue watching. They want to see a good match. They want to see that. But I think I'll keep watching, namely because it's countries competing. Countries. It's like a simulated war. There is a nationalistic, just fucking fury that fills you. You wear your fucking flag. You paint your face. You wear your colors. And you feel some kind of joy when your country wins, when your country scores. And then when your country loses, you say, well, you know, I'm half Italian or I'm half German, so I'll just go over fucking Germany. And then if whoever you've been relegated to celebrate for loses, then you just watch a good soccer match. But the country's competing. That's where it's at. That's what I enjoy. And when this is gone, in the four-year gap between the next World Cup and this one, I'm not going to go and watch a fucking club team. To me, you're going from countries doing battle, I guess you could say, countries trying to win, doing everything they can to bring glory to their land, to some fucking, basically what amounts to a neighborhood pissing match of the club team shit. Just doesn't interest me in the least. And the fact that to watch it, I'd have to go to some fucking underground club in Kearney and pay fucking $5 and have bagpipers come in and eat fucking meat pies. Like, it's not as widely available. But the World Cup's everywhere. And that's what I'm into. I'm not going to be watching it after this. I might go to some MLS games. Jimmy Spickle says the MLS is a lot faster paced than the World Cup. I might actually go to one of those. And from having watched some of the games, I might see a familiar name, Landon Donovan, or whatever. But to me, the soccer thing, it's just at the cusp of becoming majorly accepted and majorly loved. And I don't know. I don't think that a lot of us have the patience for it. We're all about it when World Cup comes in. 4 years out, a couple of us trickle off. We watch the fucking club teams go: Chelsea, Arsenal, Man U, Celtic. Watch it. Fucking great. Fantastic. And then we fall off. Because, you know, you have to put in effort over here to see those games. You have to go up in the top of the channel list. TiVo games and shit. Like, I remember trying to establish some kind of camaraderie with a new coworker that was into soccer. I said, oh, did you see that this game and that game went on? Don't you fucking tell me, I got it on the TiVo. Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I didn't know you TiVo'd the fucking game. Fuck it. I can't imagine watching TiVo'd sports or TiVo'd events. I mean, but then again, I'm not from California. My name is not Dan. That's one thing that he really enjoyed doing. And you can really tell when soccer comes up, the conversation, or you're watching it. You can tell when someone hasn't been watching it, when they walk in the room, or the first thing they bring up is, those fucking buzzing noises, how do you listen to this shit? How do you listen to that? What is that? And I didn't start watching early enough, but when I did, you know, it's evident that you can hear it. I'm sure that they've done something to reduce it. But people that don't watch it are still being bothered by these fucking horns. The fucking Vesuvias, or whatever they are. And they're becoming such a little, they're a little played out now, but people are actually purchasing them and bringing them to work and blowing on the horns and while they're eating lunch and shit, like it's the really cool thing to do. I'm sure Steve LaLarper has an array of different fucking South African horns with different fucking designs on them. But he's going to look at that purchase as he did in 1986, another hot item in pop culture, the Karate 2, a Karate Kid 2 drum that he just had to have so he could spin it by his lonesome and do the fucking drum dance. It's the same fucking thing. A little noisemaker that got popular out of nowhere. You buy it. You play with it a little bit. You show your fucking friends. And then it just sits and collects goddamn dust. And then 10 years later, 15, 20 years later, say, hey, remember Karate Kid 2? Remember those Vesuvilas? Because you'll never see them again. You'll never see them again. I mean, it'll be hot maybe for a year. People will be doing them in other events. There was a meme going around that suggesting that people should go to the Twilight premiere tonight with the Vesuvilas and during the fucking movie just blow them off, which I think would be fantastic, but you're obviously going to get thrown out. I don't know. And as far as the Karate Kid 2 drum goes, of course I bought one. Of course I went to the Chester Flea Market and purchased one of those fucking things. Just so I couldn't even do it with my hand. I had to twist it like this, like I was starting a fucking fire. Just spin it between both fucking hands. Same drum we bought at Chester Flea Market that day. Same. Thank you very much, Jeff. Jeff is one of the few people who will facilitate my need, my desire, to over-reference Karate Kid 2 and Karate Kid 2 quotes. And I guess because South Africa, that's their national fucking noisemaker. That's their national party favor. That we have to accept it. That's what they're doing. It's got to be part of the lexicon for a little while. And then maybe for some remember when time. And then that's it. People that own it, they'll get a couple laughs at it at a fucking barbecue. 4th of July. Hey, guess what I got, guys? Does it even produce a different note? Does it even fucking produce a different note? I don't know. Yeah. And now Jeff is working his way into theories of the drum punch. South Africa. Just a fucking terrible place to have. I'm going to take a sip of my beverage here. Excuse me, please. Mango Melon Life Water. Pardon me. Terrible. Tastes like chemically watermelon water. So there's been a news item that's been going around for a couple weeks. Right out of the location of the World Cup. Everybody's heard it by this point. The South Africans have invented the anti-rape condom. Anti-rape condom, which is basically a condom that has teeth in it, that is inserted so that the rapist will be able to insert, but not pull out. So they pull out and their dick gets shredded by these teeth that are inside of it. And I'm wondering, you know, inventions are created out of necessity. How fucking truly awful is law enforcement and human nature that you need to invent a fucking vagina saw to prevent somebody from raping you? And not only that, I mean, yeah, okay, the idea is great. The notion is out, it's out there. Maybe rapists will say, well, I don't know if she's got that shit in. But for that to happen, does a woman now have to buy it and install it every morning? She's going to flat iron her hair, brush her teeth, put some makeup on, and install a fucking tooth condom in her snatch? Or seconds before the assault, does she take a knee and just say, oh, hold on a second. Dunk. All right, go ahead. Do your worst. Do your fucking worst. And do you wear a sticker on your shirt? Because I know there's a lot of people that have that protected by the Viper security system on their car. Or they have the blinking light. Does she wear a button that says, this vagina is protected by the toothy fucking thing? Jeff just wrote, Billy Mays here for the anti-rape condom. God, he would be all over that. It would be made with fucking Zorbies. It would have a dual purpose of preparing salad. And not only that, not only the fact that it would probably be a nuisance, and probably a welcome one, because I'm guessing that rape is so fucking rampant in this terrible country that a woman would be more than happy to shove this thing in her just to know that anybody who might rape her today is gonna have a shredded cock. I'm willing to just go and accept that. But what if this woman decides she's in a relationship with someone who doesn't maybe pick up around the house, doesn't work, is lazy, maybe cheated on her, maybe just sits around all day, beats her fucking face in, and now she decides, fuck this guy, I'm gonna install the tooth cunt, and then I'll be amorous, and the person that you're in a relationship with now will have the shredded cock, and you'll have that aha moment, told you so. And then what? I mean, it's going to be used for the incorrect purposes. Everything is. Absolutely everything. Baseball bats are used to beat fucking skulls in and break knees. Just fucking, it's hideous. And not only that, what about this? What about this? A rapist turns it inside out. Teeth side exposed to the world. Fucks a few bitches and shreds the inside of their cunt. What about that? It is now a weapon of rape. The very weapon you're using to protect yourself from rape can easily be flipped out. It's not going to be made of steel. It's got to be flexible. Flip it inside out. Throw it on top. If the fisherman has the pocket fisherman, he's got the pocket rapist. Just strap it on his dick and shred your victim. Not only are you ruining them and giving them terrible, indelible, horrific memories, you're also leaving them with lifelong scarring and sexual fears. You are right, BMF Pants, in the HeroesTalk.com chat room. Your dick becomes the ultimate weapon, driven by your desire and enthusiasm for rape. The expected response would be less rape, right? If the rapists aren't going to turn this inside out, and they're not going to use it as a weapon of just fucking amazing rape, like the just so easy rape, basically, they're not even going to be able to scream, like get a word out when they're screaming. Shredded. I predict that since this has been invented and is being suggested for use to prevent rape, there will be a counter-invention created that will allow rape to continue. Rapists will not use guns. They will not use knives. They'll have something akin to a post-hole digger with razor blades for the cutting surface. And you know what? You want to put thorns in your pussy? I'll make my own opening. How about that? I was going to kill you anyway at the end of it. So I'll just make my own opening, have my way with it. And if you bleed out, you bleed out. If you happen to have a fucking Flintstones Band-Aid, more power to you. Enjoy your toothy vagina. I'll make my own. And here's the bonus. Post-hole digger plus inside-out anti-rape condom. You are now a superhero of rape. And I'm not trying to be just the most hideous person ever. I'm not. I'm just trying to say that this is the stupidest fucking invention in the world. Every time the discussion of going to jail and getting raped comes up among a group of guys, you will inevitably hear the suggestion, dude, I'll somehow get a job on the inside, working with metal, I'll create something I put in my ass, and if they try and bang me, it'll shred their dick. Well, they have it now. But they're gonna, like a mouth rape isn't gonna overtake the world. Now, what do you have to have, a condom for your tongue with fucking stegosaurus plates down the middle. They're going to find something else to take from you. If you're going to put teeth inside your vagina, they're going to take your fucking mouth or your ass. And if you're going to put them in your ass too and then walk around with it inside your mouth too to protect your mouth. Yes, thank you for the job interview. They're going to find a new way to take that from you. They're rapists. They don't generally care. They want you to be in fear. How about, instead of producing these fucking things, maybe you work on the goddamn fucking police. Maybe you get the police to give half of a shit about all the rapes that are happening. Maybe you allow the women to carry weapons other than something installed inside them. It's just a miserable fucking thing. Just throw a dagger. You see a guy coming at you with the rape look, the expression of rape, just fucking fire a goddamn dagger into him. And you know what? Solera's right. A lot of people are too lackadaisical to rape. Again, attributed to internet porn. People can find anything they want. They're lazy. They have no more initiative. No desire to commit their favorite crime. But it's happening. Maybe we need more internet access in South Africa. Maybe build up the fucking internet's backbone in that country rather than creating a device that'll make rape painful. Because they'll find a new way. Fuck. Come out with a great video game. A great video game or easily accessed pornography is enough to distract anybody who would be able to rape or of mind to rape or have the desire to rape. I don't know. Get a highly addictive video game and release it for free. Just give it to them. Like, instead of giving needles to people who shoot up, just give copies of GTA out and fucking consoles. Old fucking PS2s and fucking Grand Theft Auto 3. Just give it up to them. Were you planning on raping? Here's a bundle of Rockstar games. I wish you'd reconsider. I don't know. I mean, I've played a lot of video games, and it has put me in a fucking lazy state. And I imagine that if I were rapey, if I had some kind of will to take vaginal, just slip in uninvited, if I had that desire or will about me, it would be broken as well. Because I think I'm a pretty creative person. I like to build websites. I like to play guitar. And I know that has been dialed way the fuck down, that drive, ever since video games. Addictive shit like Facebook, dumb fucking retarded games like tower defense games and shit can just eat up all my attention and just completely consume everything and remove every passion from my fucking being. It's gotta work on them too. And I, you know what? Speaking of video games, I don't play as much now as I used to, but I played the shit out of some video games when I was a kid. Constantly. And I think that's why I was such a decent kid, is that I was such a lazy kid, because I was constantly playing fucking video games all day. All day. And I never even asked for specific games. I never really had a list of like, oh, well, I want, you know, Madden, and I want Street Fighter 2, and I want all that. I would just say, I like Nintendo. I want Nintendo games. Give me Nintendo games for my birthday. I want a Nintendo game for Christmas. And I would get the most random shit. Like, I have a Total Recall video game. I still have it. It is the most unplayable, impossible piece of shit you could ever imagine. You get to level 2. And a fucking bum throws a hat at you like a goddamn boomerang, and you can't get past it. I played that for a year. Level 2. Impossible. A year! The Legend of Bayou Billy. I don't even know what the fuck this came from. Given to me out of nowhere. I guess they looked and they saw that I had a few games made for made by Konami. So they're like, oh, well, this one's a silver box too. He likes them silver box games. The Legend of Bayou Billy. Let me tell you, this was the first violent video game that I've ever experienced. It was a mix of side-scroller and shooter, like, because the games that you actually got to use the zapper for on the NES, few and far between. But when you got one, it was kind of fun. It's almost like you're at an arcade. You get to shoot things that aren't fucking ducks or clay pigeons. It's phenomenal. And in this one, it's people. It's actual people. You get to murder in this fucking video game. But it's okay because they're throwing bombs at you. Like, I'm going to be in a jungle hill with a fucking gun visible to these people, and all they're going to do is try to throw lit dynamite at me. If they have access to fucking dynamite, why wouldn't they be the guy to pull the fucking gun? For those of you who don't know Bayou Billy, picture Crocodile Dundee, but from Louisiana. That's the exact character. Legend of Bayou Billy. It actually had a voice that didn't really sound like that. Legend of Bayou Billy. They really tried hard in those days. In this game, you could throw what was probably the most realistic looking knife available to you at the time. Just gun it and have it land in someone's fucking face. And they would put praying hands in front of their face as if they were clenching for pain, but it was really just the jump sprite. It was the picture they were using for jumping, but just expressed that they were displeased with a knife being in their face. You could shoot them, you could kill them, and then eventually you could drive and shoot. Fantastic game. I played it forever. Didn't ask for it. Other games that are coming in here, Maniac Mansion, absolutely played it all the time. If you want to call in, the number is 316-768-4472. Tell me about some of the games that you played for just hours that you didn't necessarily want, that you didn't necessarily ask for, but somehow you looked at your collection and you just owned this thing. And you just played this thing. Maniac Mansion was a game based on some TV show that I still have never seen. But at the time, I wanted to. I read the booklet. Apparently, it was on the Disney Channel or Family Channel. One of those channels that we didn't get. With the fucking Waltons. And I played the shit. It had multiple endings and everything. 316-768-4472. I hope that the person on the phone right now would be willing to turn down what they're listening to. Because they're on the DJ New Style show. Who's this? Oh, fantastic. They hung up. Maybe they were going back to play their favorite Nintendo game. Maybe it was Maniac Mansion. And they decided to take the hamster and put it in the microwave. This began a very, very long period of my life that isn't over, of trying to find ways to just fucking be an asshole through video games. With The Sims, building a fucking pool, telling your guy to swim, removing the ladder. He can't get out. He swims until he dies. And then all of a sudden there's a grave next to the pool. That probably takes away a little bit of the inviting nature of that blue water, doesn't it? Just a fucking grave right next to where someone used to put a towel down and get a few rays. Maniac Mansion, you could choose multiple characters. And it was a role-playing game that wasn't really nerdy, but kind of was. It wanted to be hip because every player started off, every character had its own CD player. And you could say, play CD player. And it would have their own little soundtrack. One guy was a frustrated musician. One was a writer and this and that. It was fucking fantastic. And I don't know how I got it, but I have it. And I used to play it like a fucking madman. Another one that was typed here by Green Ninja. This was my first Nintendo game. Dragon Warrior. A lot of people, they say first Nintendo game, Mario, Duck Hunt, you know, I got the action pack with the orange fucking gun. No. I saw a commercial on TV with like a 13-year-old white kid that was walking through the woods lightning struck, and then he was wearing armor. And he was fighting dragons. And it was basically a commercial to say that you can get a Nintendo, you can get Dragon Warrior, and like a year subscription of Nintendo Power for whatever price it was. And I asked, and I asked, and I wanted this. You could just give me that, and that's it? No other gifts, no birthday, no Christmas. I got it. I fucking studied that like you wouldn't believe. It had a goddamn map. The games with the maps, I treated like fucking homework. I made makeshift laminations for them by putting fucking clear tape, like Asians do for their fucking cash registers, just covering it so it wouldn't become muddled with fingerprints. I watched it. I played it. I fucking did it with Zelda. That was a map. Dragon Warrior. Played the fuck out of that game. Absolutely. And one I never expected to enjoy that I just got. I opened it up and I was visibly crestfallen and given the, we can return it if you want. You can return it. And I didn't. And I felt like I was letting them down. And sometimes kids will feel this when they get a gift. And you say, no, it's cool. I like this game. Dr. Mario. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this?
It's Paul from New York City.
Paul from New York City. What's going on, buddy?
Well, I called you a minute ago. That was from my cell phone, and I couldn't get clear reception.
Oh, okay. That's
so
cool.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so, this video game conversation is real interesting. But anyway, let me get this out of the way real quick. You might remember me. You saw me on the internet 2 weeks ago, and I sang in the year 2525 to you.
Oh, my God. This is exactly what has happened. I've gone on Chat Roulette, and I've been trying to market the show. And the way I've been doing it is I've been going on, and I've been playing guitar for people. And people have been just, you know, becoming fans on the Facebook page, and you know, they'd leave a comment or two and then kind of fall off. And Paul was somebody who saw me playing my guitar and decided to show me up by playing like this fucking like incredible apparently he's like a guitar teacher and shit. It's his job to be good at guitar. And you know, it was kind of like an asshole thing. I'm like, oh great, here he is. He's gonna be fucking fantastic and play. So what's going on, Paul? How you doing?
I'm okay. So, right, I figured I'd check out your show. I got out of work a little earlier today than usual, so I could check it out. And you know, it's cool. I like, you're pretty up on the current events and everything and what have you. So,
thank you.
I like it.
You know, at first I thought you were somebody that was trying to ruin my show. And I was going to get let me tell you, I had a fucking bandolier of insults that I was going to throw at you. When you were about to say, you know, this video game conversation is nice and all, but... And I was like, this fucking guy, who is this fucking guy? But, you know...
That's cool.
I appreciate it. Thank you for tuning in, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, the video game that I officially like to say that I spent a lot of time playing was for Super Nintendo. It was called Bart's Nightmare.
The Simpsons game? I was absolutely hooked on any Simpsons game I can get my hand on.
Have you played that one?
I didn't have it for Super Nintendo. Again, my games were given to me. I never really asked for them. So Bart's Nightmare never made my my rotation. But what about it was so addictive for you?
Well, thing about it was you would go through... I got to turn my volume off because it's like a delay between the phone and then you. And
yeah, okay. Just turn that off. That's cool.
Yeah, that's gone. Anyway, So what would happen is you would just fly around, and the weird thing is, it's like your homework would disappear, and it's such a weird spit on the Bart character because he's actually gives a shit about his homework. So you have to find these precious pages of homework, and it would lead you to a different like world, and you'd be like you'd be playing as Bartman, and then you'd be like like Indiana Jones. You'd be stuck in the cave of like Maggie, and she'd spit pacifiers at you.
Yeah.
And then you'd be Bartzilla, and you'd be climbing up this building, and Homer would be King Kong, who's trying to like swat you. So yeah, it was like a whole bunch of and yes, I see somebody commenting. It was It was on Genesis, and there was Virtual Bart, but that's a different game than Bart's Nightmare. It's two different games. I played them both.
Yeah.
And I haven't beaten Virtual Bart yet all these years later.
Yeah,
but I've beaten Bart's Nightmare.
I was very much into the first Nintendo game, the Simpsons game, which was absolutely horrendous and difficult. I think it was Bart versus, I don't remember what it was, on Nintendo. It was like just, I think, the Simpsons. And typical, like, Mario kind of thing. Get a power-up, fucking play, and maybe you get the Bartman thing, and your character changes or whatever. So you were right. Very much into the Simpsons game, and you know what? I can't deny you there. If I had it, I would have played it a lot as well.
Right. Well, that's one that I was pretty into. Another one that I can tell you, like, 50 years from now, that now I'm going to move upper systems in Nintendo 64, GoldenEye, and...
That's,
if you play 50 years from now, I'm not even joking, if I don't play it now and 50 years from now, I'm still going to be able to kick your ass. I mean, I'm not proud of that. I should have been, like, chasing women around instead of playing GoldenEye all this time, but, you know, I it's in hindsight. Who can really predict life is going to turn out that way, right?
Well, I mean, you know? With GoldenEye, that was a game that a lot of people played. I actually missed the entire system. I didn't own the 64, and the first time I played it was when I was in college. I had my roommate... who I thought owned a 64, but I found out on the last day of the semester that he had just borrowed it from a guy who was begging and pleading to have it back so he could survive finals and keep his sanity. But for some reason, he owned this kid's fucking system for the whole semester. And the game he would play, other than Mario Kart, was GoldenEye. And that was his go-to game. A lot of people really, really hooked on that. And I guess the first-person shooter genre... you know, you can go back to them and still play them. Sure, the graphics aren't great, but the gameplay's there. And with that one, you have kind of a sentimentality of, you know, the controller and who you were with when you're playing that stupid fucking split screen. Like, any game where you're on a split screen and you have to find somebody, you know they're going to cheat. They're going to pull a Madden and fucking peep the panel, like, guess which one of the three plays they're going to pick.
Well, I'm going to illustrate to you how much of a nerd I was when it came to that game, and believe me, I'm not proud of this at all, looking back, but I used to have, if I played against, a human opponent, I used to memorize where you would come back to life after you were killed.
Oh, you spawn-killing motherfucker. See, you are the type of person that ruins first-person shooters. You go and find where they come back, you kill them, and you run to the next one.
No, it's not even that. It gets worse. I don't even run to the next one. I set a bomb there at the next spot, and it'll instantly explode.
You see?
Once you wake up again. So that's how much of an asshole
fucking
I was,
noob.
You know?
Fucking noob. Just play the game, noob.
Yeah, well, that's believe me. Like I said, I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of it. And but hey, I was a different man back then, and that's that.
Well, Paul,
so there you have it.
Paul, thank you for calling in, buddy. I really appreciate it. Nice to hear from you again.
Yeah, take care, man.
All right, take care. So Paul was a spawn killer and a noob, and if this was a PC game, he would be called a hacking faggot. But he's not. He's just very, very knowledgeable of the game. Good game indeed. Good game indeed. Someone mentioned Rad Racer, and I just need to say that this was one of the games, I think, the only game on Nintendo that I know of that came with 3D glasses that if you hit select, the screen would be completely... Just a blur, like you put the game in and it wasn't reading properly, and it just showed you a fucking random scattering of sprite pieces and shit. And you were supposed to put these 3D glasses that were made out of the same material, the Nintendo cartridge sleeves, that firm black plastic. Just put that around your face. You're supposed to see it. It's gonna be fucking 3D. Never worked. Never fucking worked. But Rad Racer was pretty good. Absolutely good. The game I was talking about before Paul called in, and thank you again, Paul, Dr. Mario. This I was disappointed to see it. I had said, yeah, I like Mario games. They got me Dr. Mario. I pretended to be into it. I even played it, never was going to. And to this fucking day, I will play Dr. Mario forever. It seems like the queerest possible game. Puzzle games are kind of queer. But I downloaded it on Wii. I've played people online on Wii, and you can't shit-talk. That's my only complaint with the multiplayer experience of Wii. You can't shit-talk somebody except by saying, good game and then like not. That's all you can do. So, we have a little bit of an issue on the Ustream site. Fantastic. Just going to be a fucking amazing thing. If you're on the audio feed, it's hearustalk.com/stream. Be sure to install FStream on your listening device. I don't know if actually, are we even, yeah, we might be off. I might have actually lost my internet connection. But I'm just going to keep going and pounding through it because we're nearing the end of the show. And this is just the most perfect thing that could have ever happened. The absolute most perfect thing that could have ever happened to this episode of the show. I really don't think we're on. No, we're not. So for those of you who are listening to this now, you've obviously downloaded this. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. It's just a fucking amazing thing. I'm looking at this. The router just decided to reboot itself. It's just a very, very, very lovely, lovely thing. And I guess right now, I'm wondering, what do I do? Where do I take this show? It's 261 episodes. I'll catch myself in the middle of telling a tale. Excuse me. So sexy. I'll catch myself in the middle of telling a tale that I know I've told, but didn't know as soon as I initiated it. And then I'll realize, what's going to be new? What am I going to do to capture new people? I'm trying to bring back more of the stuff and make it great. I'm trying to do the characters again, the fake podcasts, all that shit. But I'm wondering, where do I have to take this? I'm thinking that what I have to do, I need to get out there and I need to raise awareness. I need to let people know that they need to know about me. And Paul is an example of this. Sure, I can go on Chat Roulette, suffer through the sea of penises being stroked on an array of daybeds, kitchen tables, counters. Really, if you're jerking off where you fucking prepare salad, what kind of a fucking person are you? But I could tough it out through all that and get to a person who wants to be entertained, entertain them for 10, 15 minutes, give them a link to a website, they come back, and maybe they listen. Or I can get out there and approach people face-to-face, record them, and let them know it's going to be part of a show. They check it out, they don't, they tell friends, they don't. What's more effective? I need to figure out what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do it. And I'm going to stick to this show. And I'm going to absolutely continue with this. One thing I'll never do is give up on a show that I enjoy doing. And I truly enjoy this. And since you're hearing this and you've downloaded the show, because my fucking piece of shit router doesn't feel like working, and I'm looking at a camera that won't find a server because the internet connection doesn't fucking work, I'll just chat. Hold on. Let me chat. Yeah. No. Doesn't fucking work. So, the fact that I'm doing this, I'm sticking through, I'm finishing out the show. I love doing this. I truly do. I want to make it big. I want to make this something that people really want to hear. So I'm going to absolutely do that. I have errors popping up everywhere. Maybe it's just not my fucking night right now. It might not be my fucking night. I may as well go back to the video game conversation, get to the Virtual Boy era really quick, and just fucking stare into the lights till my eyes get burned out and my fucking floaters are the size of mice. And then I can't fucking see. And then I can see again, and then all of a sudden I move my head too quick and a floater comes in and blocks my entire field of fucking vision. I may as well do that. Everything's going against me. But I will not be defeated. I will not be defeated at all. I need to find some way of getting this back. For the last 10 minutes, at least, last 10 fucking minutes. I'll give it a shot. I'll see what I can do. I mean, do I pause the recording? I mean, I say that this will not be edited. I say it won't be shit. There won't be anything done to it. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. But in the truth be told, if I cut something out, it's edited. There goes my lie. So we'll see how this works. If it comes back, I don't fucking know. And we'll see maybe if I can do the last 10 minutes of the show. I tell you, doing this thing, the last two shows, it hasn't ended well. It flowed pretty well. But the last two endings have been complete fucking disasters. Maybe that's how I need to end every show. On an absolute fucking disaster. That's the new big thing I need to do. Get a goddamn disaster. Take a piss right into the fucking exhaust fan of some fucking piece of shit, cock-sucking motherfucking thing. I don't know. Fuck it. Just fuck it in its dumb face is what I'm saying to this fucking piece of shit. Piece of fucking shit equipment. It doesn't want to work. Doesn't want to sound nice. Just wants to make a hissing noise and then make bloopy fucking error sounds and shit. But it's back up, ladies and gents. The DJ New Style Show. Oh, we're here, aren't we? We're here, aren't we? How fucking terrific is that? Oh, an error noise. Errors. I love me some goddamn... Oh, look! Error noises! Can I get more bloopies and fucking static? And just make sure there's ample flames so I can just fucking throw gasoline on it. End this whole fucking thing. I love how I went into a whole section of shit that nobody heard. Only the people that download this will hear it. I went into this whole thing about how I want to grow the show. I want this thing to be big. I want this thing to be... You know, fucking great. And now I'm envisioning the whole fucking thing in just goddamn flames. I am picturing this whole fucking house, this computer and this keyboard in a fucking hail of flames and fucking Bayou Billy tossed dynamite. People just sitting in the fucking reeds, just firing shots. I got the windows open. I don't give a fuck. Throwing bombs on my fucking gutters. That's what I want. That I want that to happen every time the fucking show is on. And I don't have enough bandwidth. Something doesn't go right. Or my router just decides, I'm going to reboot. You know what's a great time to reboot? Tuesdays at 10:50. How could it be better? It's the perfect time. 10 minutes left on this fucking piece of shit show. And now, here I am. Here I am, ready to fucking conclude the goddamn episode with nothing. Nothing. What did I do? Did I scream my fucking head off? No, I started this off calm. I said, you know what? If you're hearing this now, you obviously downloaded it. So this is just for you guys, you know. I want to take this show to I want to take this show and put it in a fucking cauldron. Like the end of Terminator 2 and just have it raise its fucking hand and be lowered down into a melting pot of fucking technical errors and fucking problems. However, I enjoy it. So I'll just keep doing it as I'm lowering it down. I'll lift it back up again. Hold it for a week. Lower it down. Oh my god. And lift it back up again. Every other week. But Ed, you're right. At least there was the crazed call. Thank goodness we're keeping tabs on a man who is unable to clean three stalls four times a day. His job is to sweep out fucking stalls. How do you get yelled at for not doing it? What are you doing otherwise? Apparently he's taking joyrides on elevators he's not allowed in. Are there fucking elevators that him as an employee, he can't fucking go in? They have whole shafts of elevators that he is barred from. No, crazed. No. Do not leave the bathrooms. If you're in here and you're wearing your blue smock, you're in the bathrooms, buddy. Don't let me see you on the floor. I'll write you up again. Every write-up that Crazed has, we'll have to have some reference to feces. That's the problem. Every official document relating to his job and job description will be a veiled comment about the inability to clean shit. Speaking about the inability to clean shit, episode 261 of the DJ New Style Show will be posted on DJNewStyleShow.com. If you want to keep up to date, you go there. You follow me on Twitter, DJ New Style on Twitter. You go to Facebook. It's this brand new thing. Facebook.com/TheDJNewStyleShow. And you click like because you like it. You enjoy this show. Or you don't, and you're a rotten cocksucker. And I hope you drop dead with the last 15 minutes of this fucking show. You and the outage on this show should go get fucked together. After having a steak dinner. So, driving. Let me tell you about driving. How do I do anything now? How can I possibly get into anything? Just lost my mind for fucking 20 minutes. I'll tell you one thing, though, that's upsetting. And I would expect it to be. Running over a cat or seeing a cat get run over would obviously be an upsetting thing. And you think, oh, I ran over a cat, or I saw a cat that was run over. I've definitely seen them. They're dead. It's not cool. It's not exciting. And I'm not going to be the shock. Oh, fuck cats, dude. I just run them over all the time. No. I've never actually seen a cat get run over until last week, when someone decided that we were going too slow. Amanda and I were in a car, driving, doing what we do. Car comes up in front of us. We're cursing them. How dare you pass us legally? Cat bolts across the fucking street, and you think a cat's going to get run over. Okay, that's going to be a flat, dead thing. A cat that gets run over gets fucking tumbled and shit. They get hit by the wheel. The wheel's spinning so quickly, they get tossed like a shoe in a dryer. And then they get hit by the other wheel, and they kind of get launched back and forth. It's a big pinball game. And the soon-to-be dead and thoroughly searched for pet, which I did see signs posted. And it's always sad when you see somebody like, Sprinkles really loves catnip and likes feathers on a stick, and we had him since 1989. He ran away. We'll have a reward of fresh baked cookies and $200. And I see this shit and I'm like, your cat was a goddamn volleyball. And it got hit by the fucking wheels. And it did this thing where it's on its back and it's just trying to get out of the road. And if you picture the cat making that sound, the expression of its face is the exact one that I saw. One paw up, reaching for grass, just struggling, and it doesn't make it, and it falls down, and it kind of rolls over, and it's all fucked up, and we turn around, like, 2 miles up, because Amanda felt bad, and, well, actually, we had just gotten home to pick up the keys that we needed, and we were heading down the same way. We really didn't stop to check on the cat. But it would be neat to see if the cat was still there when our chore was fulfilled. I tried to make it seem like we had such a big fucking heart for animals that we have nothing but the stamps for the fucking homeless pets. And we donate to PetSmart with every purchase. No. We finished our chore and headed down the same road, and we saw that the car that tossed the cat under its undercarriage was pulled over, and they were staring inside a bush. So I guess the cat did get up and it went in the bush to, I guess, die. That's what they do when they get hit by wheels. They go and they fucking die. It was really fucking disturbing to to see this cat just tossed about. So disturbing, in fact, that I decided to spend the weekend searching YouTube for cats getting run over. And I don't know what it is, but disasters, I need to see them, and I need to read the dumb comments, and I need, oh, I had a cat just like that. This isn't funny, guys. You shouldn't post this stuff. And I know that I'm not alone, because as I'm working, and I happen to have the Pal Talk room open, I get a link from Clayton, Walter Sobchak, from Hate Us Talk, a video of a fucking plane just having the shakiest of landings. And then he sends another one, and another. And I know that he is frantically searching YouTube for fucking twisty landings and shit, sideways fucking wing tapping. And I'm wondering, does everybody get into these habits of searching for like one particular thing and trying to find the worst of something? I know that Chris from Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, and I, we were both having a competition who could find the worst cyst popping video on YouTube. I really think that this isn't something that's isolated. And what I would like to hear from people that listen to the show, send me an email, djnewstyle@gmail.com. What are you obsessed with on YouTube? What are some of the things that you feel the need to search for, find everyone you can get, watch it, and come up with a scale of, that's so fucking tame, I just saw three worse than this. I'm really, really curious as far as some of the things that you're obsessed with watching over and over and over again on YouTube. DJNewStyle@gmail.com or post it on the forums, hearustalk.com/forums. And if I get anything other than the stuff that I've mentioned, maybe I'll mention it next time. Or at the very least, we will have a conversation that will, you know, ultimately lead me into searching and watching every video that you've been obsessed with. And I hope that you enjoyed this show. I hope you enjoyed this episode, this terrible fucking sewer-ridden, acrid-tasting episode of the DJ New Style Show. Episode 261. DJNewStyleShow.com, Facebook.com/TheDJNewStyleShow. Be sure to check out Best in Show, Thursday nights 9 to 11. Check out The Awful Hour, TheAwfulHour.com. HearUsTalk.com, entertaining talk radio broadcast on the internet. See you next Tuesday. Eat my ass.
Give it to me, baby. Give it to me.
Go suck banana. Fuck you.